Wolves are on the way back in the Northwest. Even California got a wild wolf visitor when the collared wolf known as OR7 wandered over the state line a few times. The story of gray wolf recovery is much bigger than that one wolf, and Oregon wildlife officials had a chance recently to get up to speed on the progress of wolf recovery. It's a process watched closely by many groups, including the environmental group Oregon Wild. Rob Clavins is with Oregon Wild and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Oregon Wild and its predecessors, or same group, different name, worked very hard, I believe, to bring wolves back to Oregon. Is that correct?
That's true. You know, and it goes beyond just simply protecting wolves. Obviously, if you want to have wolves and other native wildlife in the state, we've got to protect the big wild places that they need. And thankfully, Oregon has a lot of those, but it's been, you know, obviously there's been threats to them throughout the years, whether it's, you know, over logging, overgrazing. So we spent a lot of time protecting the habitat that wolves need. And, you know, actually the story of OR7, you just mentioned, the wolf that made it all the way from out here in Wallowa County, is about as far away as you can get from California while staying in Oregon. That was really a validation of decades of work that we and other conservationists have done to protect roadless areas, protect wilderness areas, and also shows how much more work we have to do. But, the recovery of wolves, you know, in a state that values native wildlife and values its conservation ethic is really a great story of redemption. It's a great conservation success story. So the recent news of the state's wolf population growing is something that we're very happy to see.
What was the low point? I mean, at one point there were absolutely no wolves in Oregon, and that was in the 30s or 40s?
Yeah, well, you know, as we're sometimes reminded by those folks who aren't as excited to have wolves in the state, the very first legislative session that brought the state of Oregon into being was brought in part to address the problem, quote, problem of marauding wolves is what's on the record. And so we did a pretty darn good job of that through a government-sponsored program of trapping, hunting, and poisoning. We eradicated wolves from Oregon. The last wolf bounty was collected on the Umpqua National Forest near the Rogue-Umpqua Divide in 1947. And there may have been a few wolves that hung on after that, but for all intents and purposes, we eradicated wolves off the landscape of Oregon. And so it wasn't until, about 15 years ago, the late 1990s, that the very first wolf made its way into Oregon, here again in Wallowa County, where it was actually, believe it or not, the state dealt with it by trapping it, putting it in a crate, and sending it back over to Idaho. Thankfully, we've moved past that as our management plan, but wolf recovery has a long way to go to being really sustainable and meaningful, but we're making strides in the right direction.
So how did the wolves get into Oregon? And again, they were not introduced in Oregon at all, right?
That's right. Well, so wolves started to, you know, there were always a few wolves that hung on in parts of America. There were wolves in Canada. And a few wolves started to make their way back on their own, actually into northwestern Montana. And then in 1995, the federal government, under the Clinton administration, reintroduced wolves into central Idaho and Yellowstone National Park to sort of speed up the process. And those wolves, along with the wolves from northwestern Montana that came back on their own, and perhaps the chance that there were a few wolves that were dispersing on their own directly into Oregon, have made their way back. The first ones, and most of the wolves we know about, have crossed into Oregon from that population in Idaho, where the population was once doing very, very well. Unfortunately, they're not doing as well in Idaho as they were in recent years.
Why not?
Well, so here in Oregon, we have pretty good state protections for wolves at the moment. That's something I'm happy to talk about if it's of interest. But Idaho, wolves were delisted from the Northern Rockies in 2011 as part of a budget deal. And that was the budget deal people probably remember, where we talked about Planned Parenthood and funding for NPR. One of the things that didn't get taken off but was included in that budget deal was Congress delisting wolves. It was the first time that wolves were delisted from the Endangered Species Act by an act of Congress in Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, and actually Eastern Oregon. And since that time, there has been a sport hunting and trapping season in those states. And in Wyoming, most of the state is a shoot-on site area for wolves. And so we've had over 1,000 wolves killed in those three states for sport since 2011. And the population, wolves are actually pretty resilient, but the population is going down. We're seeing conflict increasing in Idaho. And that's troublesome, because here in Oregon, we're actually dependent on, on healthy populations in neighboring states to sort of be that source population. The good news of that we got was that Oregon's wolf population has grown from where we had none 15 years ago to 64 known wolves in the state, and the second known wolf in the Cascades since 1947. But it also was a reminder of, I think, how fragile wolf recovery remains. You know, a quarter of that population are pups, less than a year old. We had continued poaching. It was parvovirus that killed a number of pups. And, you know, so there, we've seen a lot that shows that, you know, 64 wolves is a long way from recovery and what scientists have told us recovery really looks like in the state of Oregon. So when we see the population dwindling or, you know, at least decreasing significantly in Idaho, and even further proposals to reduce the population to the absolute minimums required by law, that puts wolf recovery in Oregon in some jeopardy. But it is important to realize, though, that things in Oregon really are on the right track, and most people in this state value wolves. There was a recent poll done that showed an overwhelming majority of people value native wildlife. They want to see strong protections for wolves, and they want to see recovery take hold in Oregon. And we're on the right track right now in Oregon, which is good.
Rob Clavins is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's with the environmental group Oregon Wild, and we're talking about the general status of wolf recovery in Oregon as recently reported to the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts on wolf management and the value of this species and how it should be handled. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So the 64 does represent a high number since Oregon began to see wolves?
It does. It's a minimum population. So basically once a year, you know, we wait every year for this. This is big news, and it answers the big question of how many wolves do we have in the state. And the state is smart to just give that number once a year because, you know, throughout the year, the population goes up and goes down. So at the end of the year, we get the state confirms how many wolves they know are there. So there are likely a few more wolves than 64. Which is the largest number that we've had since wolves were eliminated from the state. Things continue to generally move in the right direction here.
Yeah, I'm curious about having a wolf sent back to Idaho. That was the first time one showed up. I imagine that's because the state of Oregon hadn't developed any sort of wolf management plan at that point?
That's right. They weren't sure how to deal with it. Obviously, people had a lot of different feelings. It certainly made headlines out here in eastern Oregon. And a lot of people had different ideas of what to do in the state. I think, I can't speak for the people who made the decision, but I think probably sending it back to Idaho seemed like an easier way to deal with it. But, you know, what that ultimately did was spark the conversation, and that was that we needed to have a plan for when wolves made their way back into the state, which ultimately they were going to do. Simply having, building a big fence or having helicoptering wolves back over the Snake River every time they swam across it wasn't going to be a very good plan. So the state in 2005 put together a wolf plan. They brought together folks from the livestock industry, conservationists, scientists, hunters, the public at large, and created a wolf plan that was a good effort to try to balance science-based conservation with the legitimate concerns that people had about having wolves back on the landscape. And, you know, it was a pretty good plan in for the most part, but unfortunately it had a lot of ambiguity in it. And that ambiguity unfortunately led to a fair bit of conflict. You know, it took ultimately a legal challenge a couple of years ago, but it forced the parties to sit back down and talk to each other and clear up some of that ambiguity. And after 17 months of negotiations between conservationists, the state, and the livestock industry, we created a plan where no one got everything they wanted, and, you know, people who want to see every wolf killed are never going to be happy. But again, it tries to balance the science-based conservation with legitimate concerns that folks may have sharing the landscape with wolves. And, you know, ultimately it recognizes that for those of us who are lucky enough to live near the big wild places of America, that living with native wildlife is a responsibility we all share. And so we're not perfect here in Oregon, and far too often our values aren't really carried out in public policy. But when it comes to wolves, I think for now, if other states want an example of how to get past the unnecessary conflict that comes from killing wolves, Oregon's a pretty good place to look.
You had mentioned earlier about wolf protection in Oregon being reasonably good, but it's also different from place to place in Oregon, isn't it? There seems to be some confusion here about federal versus state protection and where is state protected.
Sure, yeah, you can get in, you know, once you get into the weeds of policy, it can get quite complicated. And so when wolves were delisted in the Northern Rockies, that included the eastern portion of Oregon, where 63 of the 64 known wolves in the state live. So for all intents and purposes, all the wolves in the state live. They are now protected by the State Endangered Species Act, but not the Federal Endangered Species Act. And in Western Oregon, the majority of the state, where we only have one known wolf and a recent pair of wolf tracks near Mount Hood, wolves are protected by both the state and federal law. This all does come under the context of actually the Obama administration pushing for a delisting of wolves in most of the lower 48, including the rest of Oregon. And that's something that is pretty problematic. Wolves recovered because of those protections, and we've seen where the stripping of those protections leads to killing wolves, and it leads to a lot of conflict and controversy. The scientists have spoken. There was a peer review of that plan, and they said it was not a good idea to delist wolves. The science was flawed for the delisting. There were over 1 million public comments. So Oregonians and Americans want to see protections for wolves until the job is done. And we even saw Peter DeFazio recently speaking out in favor of continued protections for wolves. Certainly the details of that get complicated, but I think it's just simply common sense. We have one known wolf in Western Oregon, and scientists have told us there's a lot of really good habitat in the state. So I think we're a long, long way from recovery, and I think protections for wolves, when you only have 64, it certainly makes sense. Again, our plan says that killing an endangered species should be an option of last resort. And again, we don't have a perfect plan, but at the moment, that's what we're doing in Oregon. And that's why we're seeing an increase in the population of wolves. We're seeing a continued relatively low amount of conflict. And I think that's good for all parties, and it's certainly good for the wolves.
Rob Clavins is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange from Oregon Wild. We're talking about wolf management in Oregon. Here's Grumpy John at Grants Pass. Welcome to the Exchange.
When the wolves came back to Yellowstone, by keeping the elk herd moving, keeping them jumping around, the riparian environment was much improved, but that takes quite a few wolves. How many wolves would be optimum for actually improving the environment by not allowing herds of ungulates to linger and overgraze an area?
Right.
Thank you.
Keeping the deer and the elk under control. Thanks for that, Grumpy John.
That's a great question. I would say Joe did not sound nearly as grumpy as I was expecting. It's a good question, and I don't know that there's really an answer. There is a lot of great science that was done in Yellowstone and elsewhere about the impact that apex predators and big wildlife have those keystone species have on their landscape. And Yellowstone's a great place to be able to study them for a number of reasons. And The science continues to evolve. It's not quite the simple story that would make it just easy to explain that this happens. You reintroduce wolves recover, and all of these specific things are going to happen as expected. Ecology surprises us, and the landscape in Oregon is certainly different than Yellowstone. I think Joe is right that just having 64 wolves on the landscape, we're not going to see major impacts all the way down in the way that we've seen in Yellowstone, where it affects songbird populations and beaver populations and the temperature of streams, for that matter. We're not going to necessarily see that with 64. The only peer-reviewed study I've seen in Oregon said that Oregon had habitat for over 1,000 wolves, that we could support that sort of population, and that took into account human conflict. There's certainly more research to be done, and Oregon's landscape, again, is different. And it's kind of interesting. One of the things that we saw at the ODFW meeting is that the state is actually going to start doing some good research, and it's nice because we sort of have this baseline of a token wolf population, and we'll be able to see what effects they have on the landscape over the coming years. What that exact number is, I think, is a guess, and we'll probably see it. As recovery continues to play out, if we allow it to do so.
So we really don't know, because we haven't had them around long enough to study what the effects might be of the wolves on other ecosystems, forested ecosystems, for example. If they were to settle in larger numbers in Western Oregon, what effect that might have on old growth forests or younger growth forests? We don't really know those things, do we?
I think, yeah, that's true. And, we haven't studying wolves in any way other than, shooting them and trapping them. It's a relatively new field. It wasn't until the 1970s that Dave Meesch was doing real research on wolves. And then this research we've seen in Yellowstone and elsewhere is really in its early stages. And so, there's certainly some big takeaways, and we're seeing it with other species in other places, whether it be tiger sharks or groupers in the ocean or baboons in Africa, about these keystone species and what big impacts they have on the landscape. But it's pretty early science. And there's sort of these simple stories that are easy to tell. And then there's the more complex things that happen on the landscape. And I think we're going to continue to learn. And if we give wolf recovery a chance to take hold in Oregon, I think we'll learn a lot more. And, you know, there's the father of the conservation movement, Aldo Leopold, has a great quote, that if we value the land system as a whole, all the parts are of value, and the key to intelligent tinkering is to keep all of the pieces. And so I think, you know, whatever the case may be, wolves are a native species. They have a rightful place in the landscape, and so I think we'll see a healthier landscape with wolves because it has all of its pieces than we would. And certainly from a personal perspective and a values perspective, I think, you know, some people have said, and I think it may be overstating it, without wildlife, wilderness is just scenery. That might be, again, overstating it, but, you know, I think the ability to go hiking in the Crater Lake Wilderness or the Eagle Cap and have the potential to see tracks of a wolf or hear the howl of a wolf is pretty exciting and something that I think most Oregonians value, and I know I certainly am excited for that opportunity. I don't have to go to Yellowstone anymore.
Right. Rob Clavins, we're almost out of time here, but I want to ask you, you mentioned how much Oregonians support having a growing wolf population. Does that support decrease the closer you get to the pack in Wallowa County?
You know, there are differences of opinion in different communities. It's easy to paint with a broad brush sometimes, but even recent polling here in Wallowa County shows that the majority of people don't want to see wolves totally taken off the landscape again. So, you know, we'll see, I think, how the story, whether or not it has a happy ending, is totally in our hands.
All right, 64 wolves reported in the latest Oregon wolf population. Rob Clavins is with Oregon Wild. His group pushes for greater wolf management, greater wolf protection in Oregon. Rob, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We'll talk about corporate subsidies and how the big companies seem to get them in hour number 2.